In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem to die for the life of the world. And someone came up to him and asked him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" It's an interesting question. Will those who are saved be few? And maybe you've even wondered about that. It seems that church attendance across the board in America is on the downhill slide in all denominations. And maybe you've wondered, will those who are saved be few? We see people's morals, we see people's language just getting more and more crude and profane, and you wonder, will those who are saved be few? You see less and less of an impact on our culture by Christianity, and you might wonder, will those who are saved be few? And maybe the person who asked Jesus that question that day had some similar thoughts in his own day and age. Are only a few people going to be saved? That's a general question. It's kind of theoretical. It's not really specific. And Jesus responds, but he goes a different direction. And he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Jesus said that. Entrance into the kingdom of God is incredibly narrow. There's only one door. Only one door. Now, that's not what people like to hear. What we'd like to hear is, oh, you know, all roads lead to the same place. We all worship the same God. We just call him by a different name. Or, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. As if, you know, God's ultimate quality is to be nice and let us do what we want. But you think about some of those things and some of those thoughts, besides being wrong, they're just not logical. All roads do not lead to the same place. None of us drive that way. We don't just like, oh, there's a road, let's go get on it, and it'll get us to where we want to go. It's ridiculous. Imagine if you're sick and you go to prompt care and the nurse practitioner says, "Yeah, I can see you're sick. Take some medicine." You say, "Which one?" She's like, "Oh, it doesn't matter. Just take a medicine. As long as you believe it will help, you'll get better." That's ridiculous. And you would be like, yeah, this is a horrible, horrible way to be treated. In a similar way, you know, to think that, oh, you know, we're all trying to get to the same place just by different ways, it doesn't make sense. The God who made this world and everything in it, including you, desires, demands your love for him and your obedience and your honor to him. And he gets to do that because he's God. And you can say, well, I don't really like that, or I want to do something different, or that's not fair, or, you know, I don't really believe that. And people do say those things, but at the end of the day, God's word stands. Nations have come and gone, and what is still here? The word of the Lord. There's no workaround. There's only one way. And the only way through the expectations and demands of God is through the very narrow opening of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, your Savior and mine. He's the narrow door that leads to life. And trying to figure out some other way, trying to, you know, say, well, I'm going to try to find another way, it doesn't work, no matter how religious it may appear to you or to other people. That's not the way to be saved. To be saved is to be saved. To be saved is something that happens to you and for you. By definition, you cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself from a fire, can't save yourself from drowning, cannot save yourself from being trapped. If you could save yourself, then you wouldn't need to be saved. And here's what makes following Jesus so unique and different from all other religions. Everything that needs to be done to be saved is done for you. Is done for you. Jesus does it all. You trust that another one has done all the work. And that is absolutely true. You trust that you are righteous before God because God has made you righteous through Jesus. You trust that everything that needs to be paid has been paid through the death of Christ. You trust that you are forgiven, clothed in Christ, united with Him in His life, death, and resurrection because He has done that to you and for you. That way is very narrow and exclusive. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me," and there is no other way. All other paths, all other routes, no matter how pious or how rigorous or how full of good works, simply don't work. They are dead ends to nowhere. And the opportunity to go through that doorway is short. One lifetime. And that door closes when you die or when Jesus comes again in glory, whichever comes first. And the Bible tells us there will be those who find themselves on the wrong side of that closed door. There will be those who bang on it and plead, who argue that they are entitled to be let in. "We ate with you. We drank with you. We heard you teach in our streets, Jesus." Maybe there will be Lutherans who say, "I was confirmed. I belong to a church." This is a word of judgment to all who would think they are entitled. Jesus says, "I don't know you or where you come from." Jesus saw the religious people in his day working hard to be religious, trying hard to follow the rules, follow the traditions. But often they did not trust the mercy of God for sinners. They looked down on their fellow sinners and judged them as unfit for the kingdom. But that's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of mercy for sinners. It's a kingdom for those who receive what He has done, not boasting about how hard they've tried or what they've done. And there will be people in this kingdom that are from all over, from the four corners of the earth, from north, south, east, and west, dining with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the Lamb's High Feast. And there will be people there that you think shouldn't be there. Outsiders, misfits, horrible, terrible sinners that have done horrible, terrible things. And there they are. There they are at the feast. Jesus brings them all together and gathers all those who would be gathered onto His holy mountain. Who's that invitation extended to? To all. Jesus told His disciples, "Make disciples of all nations by doing two things, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Who's included in all nations? All nations are. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So when people say, "Well, what about you know, the Muslims and the Buddhists and all those who maybe follow a different God?" Does God invite them? Did Jesus die for their sins? Most certainly. But there is only one way to Jesus, and that is through Jesus. When people say, "Oh, you know, you Christians, you're so exclusive. You say Jesus is the only way." And we say, "Yes. And that only way is open to the whole world." What other God is like that? That is a God who loves and cares for sinners and who will not throw you out no matter what you've done or where you've been. He is a God of mercy. And there is no other God. The opportunity is here. The door stands open. But the day will come when it is shut. God desires to save all, but not all will be saved. God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But you can still walk away. You can still say, oh, no thanks. I'm going to try to go a different way. I'm going to try to figure out my own way, or I'm just going to ignore it altogether. God will let you go. It's not what he wants, but he will let you go. And so we're back to that question, will only a few people be saved? Well, really a better question to ask and to answer is, am I saved? And how do I know it? And the answer for that question is, yes, yes, yes. How do you know it? Because what Jesus has done for you. And if you say, well, you know, I don't think I'm that good. I would say you're not. That's why Jesus died for you. That's why Jesus took away all of your sins, because you are not good enough. I am not good enough. Jesus is good enough in our place. Our God is a God of grace and mercy, who has done everything that needs to be done for you to get through the narrow door. Jesus and Jesus only. The door is open. The day will come when the door is shut. But until then, we live in the security of God's mercy. And we look for ways to share that good news, which is for all people, as we have opportunity. The narrow door of Jesus' death is wide enough to include the worst of sinners. And that would include you, and it would include me. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.